Morning. All right, so everybody do like me. So do that. Can you do it again? More. Do you smell the fresh, clean air in here? It is clean. The building's always clean. As I said yesterday, I want to thank everybody that came out yesterday that helped out in various ways. A lot of work got done in a fairly short amount of time, which is always good. And I want to thank everybody for coming out. But also I want to thank those that maintain the church on a regular basis. Because, you know, it's good to do that kind of deeper cleaning, but the church always looks clean to me. It always looks like it's in good shape. So I want to thank those who continually keep up the church. And if you want to help out in any of those ways, you know, just let us know. We'll be glad to. We always can find good little work and jobs to do. So thanks again for everybody came out and helped yesterday. God's church is awesome, and we are just one portion of a called out assembly of the church, you know, of our Lord. And it's exciting to always see what's he doing, you know, in a local congregation. What's he doing with us? And there's a lot of things that are going on, continue to go on. You'll see them in the announcements, on the websites, in the webpage. Continue to just be interested in what God is doing and find ways that you can plug into all these different things. And you'll continue to hear more and more about that as you continue to come out. But most importantly, be praying. You know, check in on one another. You know, you can see different Sundays. Some are here, some are not, and we do our best to try to keep tabs on everybody, but we should do that as a congregation. Look out for those you don't see for a while. Check in on them. Jeanette Skaliski is doing well. She's in a lot of pain. She had fallen and broken her leg. But keep her in prayer. But that's how we should be checking on one another. If you don't see somebody, say, hey, are they okay? Let me, you know, reach out to them and see if they need some encouragement. If they need something more, let the church know. Let us know and how we can help in some way. So let's continue to pray and talk to one another and continue to just say be thankful for what the Lord's doing. And as we open his word today, let's bow our heads. Father, thank you for your word. It's truth, the power. Lord, of your word to transform us. Lord, you want us to not to be conformed to this world, but you want us to be transformed with the renewing of our mind. Thank you for your word that, Lord, as we spend time in it, reading it, studying it, meditating on it, putting it into practice, we will be transformed to become more like you. So let your word have its perfect work today in our lives, and we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. You heard terms like the southern border, illegal immigration, paths to citizenship. You know what that sounds like, doesn't it? It sounds like you're watching the news. It sounds like what's the hot button issues of today, all those different things. And they're important issues. They really are. They're important. We should have an opinion about them. We should deal with it as far as exercising whatever our constitutional rights are in that area and act upon our civic duty and all those things. But that's not really what I want to talk about today, because even though those are important issues, I want to talk about the meaning of citizenship, the benefits of it, but of a different kind of citizenship. Citizenship, just in its general definition, is a position of somebody or a status of being a citizen of a particular country. We all here are citizens. My guess would be almost everybody, if not everyone in this room, is a citizen of the United States, but there may be some who are either have dual citizenship or some that are here and are not citizens of the United States and are here an alien, you know, here, but here in whatever that way might be. But you are a citizen somewhere. We're all a citizen of something. And I want to just give a quote. I don't always use a lot of quotes in the messages, but this one just caught my eye regarding the way it came out. And it's from, many of you know, Charles Spurgeon. He's an amazing preacher back from the 1800s. So remember, this quote now is from the 1800s. He says, "How heartily the Germans sing of the dear old fatherland, but they cannot, with all the Germanic patriotism, they cannot beat the genial glow of a Briton's heart." Now, he's from Great Britain, he's English. "When he thinks of his fatherland, too. The Scotchman, too, wherever he may be, remembers the land of brown heath and shaggy wood. And the Irishman, too, let him be where he will, still thinks of the Emerald Isle, the first gem of the sea. It is right that the patriot should love his country. Does not our love fervently flame towards heaven? See, in Philippians chapter 3, verse 20, the apostle wrote to the church in Philippi saying this, for our, speaking to the church, raise your hand if you're part of the church. I'm talking to the body of Christ. If you're part of the church, you're born again into the family of God. He says, our citizenship is in the United States. No, it's in heaven. Then you might be saying, what the heck are we doing here then? No, listen, our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. King James says our conversation is in heaven. You say, oh, that's different. No, it's the same Greek word that basically means what we do, where we spend our time, where we live, what we're about. It could even be, if you will, in fact, our word politics actually comes from that word for citizenship. And it talks about community. It's your people. It's where you're part of. That's what we're going to talk about, where our citizenship is. You know, in contrast, and we're going to look at these verses that are just above Philippians 3:20, in contrast to those that Paul was talking about, you know, in the few verses above, which we'll get to in a moment, he says, no, look, your citizenship isn't here any longer. You're only temporarily related to this world. Your citizenship is in heaven. And the residents of Philippi back in that time in the first century, they would have understood Paul's meaning when he talked about citizenship in that way. They were proud citizens of Rome. They took pride in that. They were not in Rome. A lot of them weren't from Rome, but many of them were citizens of Rome. And they would have enjoyed all the privileges of the time of what it meant to be a Roman citizen, even though they lived far away. So this would have captured their attention. So when Paul talks about citizenship, initially there would be that patriotic pride that would rise up within them about, oh yeah, you know, Rome and Roman citizenship and all the benefits. But then he says, no, I'm talking about a different citizenship. One in heaven. There is one paraphrase of the scriptures that reads this, in this verse this way. We have our home in heaven. And here on earth, we are a colony of heaven's citizens. So Paul is saying, just as the Roman colonists, the people in Philippi, never forget they really belong to Rome, we as the Church of Jesus Christ should never forget our citizenship and that it is in heaven, not here on earth. So we're resident aliens, every one of us. We're resident aliens on this planet. And as foreigners, which we don't always want to think ourselves as foreigners, we are distinct and should be distinct from the world around us. We should look a little different. We should talk a little different. We should act a whole lot different because our citizenship is not here. And we should be marked by where we come from and where we belong. These verses, to me, signify that we need to understand, as Paul says in that the rest of that verse, he said, our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also eagerly await the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. He talks about these things like being eager and eagerly awaiting. We have to understand that this idea of being citizens of heaven, we should be eagerly awaiting for that time when we will be back home. And we should be comparing it to how we live down here now. See, in those verses just above this, verse 20, I'm going to read them now. Paul was talking to the church and saying to them, look, brethren, verse 17, be followers of me. In other words, he's saying, and Paul said in other places, follow me as a child of God, as an apostle of Jesus Christ. Follow me. And he also likes to add, follow me as I continue to follow Jesus. Don't look at me as the man, but look at me as I'm following Jesus. And he says, so mark, follow me, right? And mark them, the others, which walk so as you have an example, as you have us for an example. He said, so look at those that are citizens of heaven. Look at me. and look at others that are citizens of heaven. And he says, for many walk, of whom I've told you often and now tell you even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ. That there's others who are not citizens of heaven. Just as, by the way, we once were. There was a time when we were not citizens of heaven. There were a time when we were citizens of this world and this world alone. And we had no citizenship of heaven. And he says, mark those that are walking as citizens in heaven, but look out and watch the others that are not. He says, I'm telling you, even weeping, that they're the enemies of the cross. And the reason he was weeping, he says, because those who do not have a citizenship in heaven, that are walking only according to this world, and are citizens of this world only, he said, their end, verse 19, whose end is destruction. He's talking about eternal destruction. Yes, you don't evaporate, but it's eternal hell. Eternity separated from God. He says their end is destruction. Whose God is their belly and whose glory is their shame, who mind earthly things. There's a big contrast here to those that Paul is saying, listen, these are those that are of this world and only of this world, who walk this way. They're enemies of the cross, whose end ultimately is destruction. In contrast to those who have a citizenship in heaven. And he said in a few verses above this in verse 14 that the goal in all of this as Christians is our upward call. Our upward call of God in Christ Jesus. He's talking about when God takes us all home one day. How many of you know you're not going to spend your eternity here on planet Earth? How many of you know that one day he's going to take us all home? Do you remember that Jesus told us, and Paul told the church, and Jesus even told us that there's a time that he's going to come for us? You know, Paul would say in 1 Thessalonians, he talks about the time of the Lord gathering the church into himself. You know, the general term we use is the rapture of the church. Some people don't like that word because they can't find it in the Bible. It just means a catching up. That's all the word means. It's a Latin word for catching up. But I like to call it the blessed hope. It's our blessed hope. That at one point, if you die in this world, physically die in this world, but you're a citizen of heaven, yes, your body will go into the ground, but you will be with the Lord immediately. But if you're also alive at the coming of the Lord, then those that died in Christ, God will bring their earthly bodies, bring them all back. You say, how could that happen? Is anything too hard for God? And the answer is no, okay? God will bring that back, no matter how much the dust there is and whatever, how they've decayed or whatever. And then those who are dead and are alive, and they're going to be caught up together with the Lord, the Bible tells us, to be transformed into our glorious bodies forever to be with the Lord. And have our full citizenship where? In heaven with him. That's our heavenly citizenship. It signifies that our first allegiance belongs to Jesus Christ, period. And that we need to live for him rather than put all of our efforts into obtaining something in this world that we can never truly inherit, that we can never keep, that is fading away. Just as our bodies are decaying, this world is decaying. This world will not continue in the way it is forever, for eternity. Because you've heard somewhere in the Word of God that he says, behold, I make all things new. This world is passing away. That should, knowing that we're citizens of heaven, should lead us to an eager anticipation of Jesus coming and returning for us. A proper understanding of heavenly citizenship doesn't, you know, consist of just like a vague kind of understanding of like, well, in the sweet by and by, in the eternal somewhere up there, maybe there's a vague idea that maybe something will be better than it is here. No, it's not that at all. When we know we're in Christ and we're citizens in heaven, there should be an eager anticipation for our heavenly home that is real. We should be able to taste it. That we think about it. That we get excited. See, it's funny. I, the Lord put this message on my heart, I guess, sometime yesterday, and I was meditating on it last night and into this morning. And Meg got up super, super early, and I got up normal early. And she had Charles Stanley was on. He just passed, you know, went to be with the Lord a few weeks ago, I guess what it was. And it was a message. And then it was just the end of one message. Then the second message came on, and he was actually just happened to be talking about the return of Jesus. And he said, when people ask me about the return of Jesus, he said, I usually know they have two things in mind, in their mind. There's those ones who are eagerly waiting for it, and then there's ones that want to know, how much more can I get away with until he comes? Basically, that's it. Like, hey, is he going to be like another 10 years? Do I got 10 more years to kind of do what I want to do down here? You know, that kind of thinking. And see, for us, as citizens of heaven, we shouldn't be like, oh, I want to hang out down here as long as I can. I want to suck all the marrow out of this thing until I... No, we should be, no, Lord, take me now. Lord, I want to go home now. Lord, I'm glad to be here as you want me to be here, but Lord, I know this isn't my home. I want to be with you. See, the Greek word for wait in that, it actually means it's an intense anticipation. You can't wait for it. You can't wait for it. I want to be translated. I want to go. I want to be where my Father is. I want to be in my Father's house. Paul used the same word Luke used the same word in the book of Acts, where it talks about when Paul was waiting in Athens for the rest of them to show up. He was eagerly awaiting because he had been there alone. He had gone through a lot of trials. He was tired of doing all the ministry alone. He eagerly awaited his companions to come. He just couldn't wait, looking for them. Where are they? Where are they? That's how we should be waiting for home. We want Jesus to come to take us there, to that glorious city. The one that Jesus told us about, that no matter what we go through, he said, don't let your hearts be troubled, because if you believe in God, believe also in me, because in my Father's house there are many mansions. If it was not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. Where I am, you will be also. And guess what? I'm going to come and take you there. That's my translation of that one. I'm going to come and get you. And bring you to where you need to be. See, being a citizen of heaven should confirm our hope for doing something else that we mentioned just a moment ago, and that is to shed this tent that we all have. How many know this body's just a tent? How many know this body's wearing out? How many of you know, it's been about like the last three or four weeks, Megan and I have been doing a lot of like heavy lifting, a lot of stuff, physical stuff. And, you know, I thank God for the strength that, you know, as we get older, that he still gives us. But I know, like, I've been dealing with this hand problem. I can't grip and lift things. And I'm like, oh, Lord, this hurts now. It never used to hurt before, but it hurts. And then you get up and you go, oh, you know, I make the noise my father used to make. Oh, you know, I get up. And I said, this body's wearing away. I thank God for the strength. I thank God, but I know I'm not what I was, you know, 30 years ago. And you know, if the Lord gives strength, how much would I be, you know, 30 years from now? But these tents are wearing away. The Bible tells us very clearly that as we await this new kingdom, that God has prepared new bodies for us to inherit that kingdom, to inherit our home in heaven. We're not going to heaven in these bodies. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. I like how Philippians 3:21 says it, the next verse. Jesus, who shall change our vile body, I like that, our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able to subdue all things to himself. Paul said it this way in 1 Corinthians 15. Verse 50 through 53, he says, now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So that we can enter our heavenly home, where our citizenship is right now. See, verses like that, you know, he's going to change our vile bodies into a body like he has, and then he's going to change us all at the, you know, in the twinkling of an eye. That should excite you. That should give you excitement today. It should give you comfort. It should give you joy to know that at some point, everything that we go through in these bodies because of the sin that we brought into this world will one day be past us. There will be no pain one day. There will be no more sorrow. All these former things that we deal with will all be passed away, and he will make all things new. The blessed hope, that's the term I like to use. The blessed hope where he will change these bodies into his like a body, glorious body like he had. Never the same as Jesus, but like he had. And that we would have that body for all eternity, enjoying our citizenship in heaven. See, sometimes, and there's many churches today, and I don't ever seek to bash churches. I may talk about things that I hear that are wrong, but I'm not here to bash. I'm here to just be biblically accurate and talk about the things the Word of God talks about. And I think it's sad today when a lot of churches today only want to talk about what Jesus is going to do for you now. Like he's some kind of, let's come to Jesus and he'll make you wealthy, or come to Jesus and he'll make you always happy, or come to Jesus and you'll get the most out of this life. Listen, the Bible, yes, Jesus will do things for us now, but you know, Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15 also, he said, if in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are men most miserable. If it's just about this world and everything we can just get out of this world, he said, that's it. That's kind of miserable when you think about it. Yes, Jesus is here for us now, praise God. But Jesus is here to prepare us for an eternity with him. And that's what we want to talk about. That's what we want to think about. Because in this world, as we continue to see our world is decaying. You know, there's a lot of people who tell us, no, we're getting better. But you know what? By my estimation, I look at our world and say, no, we're going downhill, not uphill. Things are not getting better. You know, we're not at a place of growing, and we're a place of declining. And we're in a place where the world is becoming more and more uncomfortable for Christians. You know, we live at a time when we need so much more than of just a fleeting once in a while there by and by of our home, but to think about it, no, we need to hear about it, that we need to long for it. But the Lord, I think, is helping us in this way, because not only do our bodies get, as we get older, we think, oh, I can't wait for the new body, but as we look at the world around us, we say, Lord, I really want to go home. I mean, I know we have work to do, I'll get to that in a moment, but I want to do that work, but Lord, I want to go home, because this place has become a little more uncomfortable for us. And we should never be comfortable in the way that that we think this is of our home. But we're going into a time that the Bible talks about where right now, I mean, I hear things, you know, I try to keep up with a lot of stuff that's going on, and I try to watch a lot of stuff. And I get videos sent to me, and I try to always check them out because, there's all kind of stuff that's fake and all kinds of stuff. But I'm seeing more and more stuff where there's certain groups today that are openly advocating, saying words like, yeah, all those who don't agree with our lifestyle, and they usually drop in there like Christians and others, they should be killed, just flat out. And you know what? You know, you read the comments underneath it, and people are like, yeah, get rid of them all, you know? I'm like, Lord, we're in hostile territory. We always have been, but it's going more hostile, Lord. Now, we have a job to do, and again, I'll close on that in a couple minutes. But the thing is, from a standpoint of any of those who think, or churches who just want to say, hey, we inherit this life, this world, we're going to make this world better, and we're going to make this world so good till Jesus comes, and no, this world's going to get worse and worse and worse. The only way it's going to get better is when he comes, takes us home, and then he comes back as King of Kings and Lord of Lords and sets up a new kingdom and a new heaven and earth. And you say, well, that sounds, it's only negative if you don't know your citizenship is in heaven. If you know that, then it's exciting. See, the Bible says we're already citizens right now. We're citizens right now of heaven. We just haven't experienced it yet. See, we belong to another realm. We're not of this world. And we should act as if we're part of this world. God's kingdom is going to come to earth when he returns. He's going to come. Jesus will reign. I mean, when he comes for the millennial reign, which is not eternity, but when he comes to set up his kingdom for 1,000 years, he's going to reign with a rod of iron, the Bible says, because people are still going to be unruly. Because there's many people that are going to go through that time of tribulation, and they'll enter into that time of the millennial reign in their natural bodies, not converted yet. And Jesus is going to rule with a rod of iron. But then at one point, when he gives them an opportunity to make the choice for the kingdom of God, because it's always a choice to make for the kingdom of God, then those who will enter into the kingdom of God will accept their citizenship, and they will enter into that state of eternity, and the rest will find themselves in the lake of fire. So as we look at all of this and listen to all this morning, I want to leave you with a couple thoughts. Because if we now are hearing about this message, and this message is about our church, our citizenship in heaven, then we need to say to ourselves, okay, how do we spend our time here? Because we're still going to be here until he calls us home. Now, he can come at any time. That's the scripture. Imminency is the thing that tells us that at any moment, from the time Jesus ascended, he could have come back for us at any time. And you say, oh, it's 2,000 years, and when's he going to come? Don't be like that. Peter said there's just people that mock that, and they're the Lord is slack concerning his promise. No, he's coming in the time that he has set forth. He knows the time. He'll come in the right time. And in the meantime, as we eagerly, I hope, are waiting for that, what do we do while we're here as resident aliens? See, aliens should seek to do the good works in the land where they live. We should be good citizens down here of the country we live in and of the people that we communicate with. Because our good works, Jesus said, will glorify our Father in heaven and should point people to him. See, as aliens, we have responsibilities and duties, but we're not under the same obligations as the people of this world. And that's why the Bible says to us several times, do not be conformed to this world. You're different. Be transformed. Have your mind renewed. But you have responsibilities down here, but don't be conformed to this world. We're in this world, but we should not be of this world system. We have to be different. And as aliens, think about it. We're not eligible for the same rewards as the citizens of this earth. And at that moment, you should be saying, thank you, Jesus, because you know what the rewards are of the citizens of this earth who do not have citizenship in heaven? Eternal hell. Because the wages of sin is what? Death. Thank you, Jesus, that we're not going to get the reward of the citizenship of this earth. And we should, because of all this, we should not focus everything of building our riches, because aliens don't build their riches in the land that we're just passing through. Jesus told us that we should store up our treasures where? In heaven. That's where we're going to be. And he says, when you do that, you know what else is going to be there? Your heart. Because where your treasure is, your heart's going to be also. So we should now, as from the positive side, as citizens of heaven, living here as aliens on this earth, we realize that though we are to, according to scriptures, obey the government that is here, as long as it doesn't contradict what we know the scripture tells us to do. If the government ever tells us to contradict what scripture says, we stand by scripture. You know why? Because though we're supposed to obey the governments here, our government is in heaven, comes from heaven. That's what we recognize first. As citizens, we share heaven's honors. Jesus said, indifferent than what the citizens of this earth are going to receive, we're going to receive our citizenship in heaven. And Jesus says, behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me. As citizens, we have property rights that are in heaven. Like Abraham, we don't have property really here on this earth. Abraham, Hebrews 11:10 said, he looked for a city which has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Abraham owned nothing in the promised land the whole time that God said, this is all yours, Abraham. He owned nothing there except what? A burial plot. That's it. But it was his. We look for a heavenly kingdom. Hebrews 13:14 says, for here we have no continuing city, but seek one that is to come. So we enjoy the pleasures of heaven. We should have an attachment to our heavenly home. And if we are resident aliens here, knowing we're citizens of heaven, and we think about our heavenly home, do you know what else we should be doing on a regular basis? Keeping in communication with it. Calling home our Father who art in heaven. Hallowed be thy name. thy kingdom come. But Lord, in the meantime, thy will be done in earth, in me, and on this earth as it is in heaven. Be in contact with home. See, Jesus spent much of his earthly ministry explaining the kingdom of heaven. He compared it to many different things, but he said it's like a wheat field where they grow up together. The wheat and the tares grow up together. You're not sure at first which is part of which. Just like in this earth, people looking at us don't know, are you a citizen of this earth or are you a citizen of heaven? But guess what? The Lord knows. And he promises to take all those that have that citizenship in heaven with him. He will not leave any of us behind. So as we close, the question is for you, for us here, for those that will listen in later, for those that we will share this message with in one form or another, are you a citizen of this earth only, or are you a citizen of heaven? And like we keep hearing a lot of these buzzwords today, I want to tell you something. If you're not a citizen of heaven, there's a pathway to citizenship. There's a pathway to citizenship. And it's nothing you could do and ever merit on your own. You can never get a citizenship to heaven by doing the things that you've done or being good or following this or being sincere or doing all these different things. That's not the pathway. There's one pathway to heaven, and that's through the cross of Jesus Christ. That's it. And he made a way for all to come. But just like you have to follow a pathway to whatever country you want to become a citizen to, for us to become a citizen of heaven, we have to follow the pathway that he made through the cross. And we have to turn away from our sin, turn away from this world, turn away from this system, and turn to Jesus and say, Jesus, I am a sinner. I am not worthy of heaven. But I heard good news that you died for me so that you made a way for me to be a citizen of heaven. And in faith, I'm coming your way. I'm repenting of my sin. I'm turning in faith to you. I'm receiving your forgiveness, your finished work on the cross for me. Wash my sin away. Adopt me into your family. Come into my life. Live within me that I would have the hope of citizenship and the promise and the certainty of citizenship in heaven with you and knowing that one day you will come to take me where you are. I hope you have that hope already in you. If you do, then as I gave some of those things, how we should be living that way and more and telling others about our heavenly home and inviting them that they could join us there one day. And if you haven't yet, what are you waiting for? Not only because does this world not hold anything futuristically for you, but there's something we were created for that was so much better, and that is to spend eternity with our God, our Creator. That's his desire for us. Let people know. And if you haven't come yet, now's your time. As we close our eyes and bow our heads in prayer, I'll pray for those who have not yet received Christ, who are here or maybe listening in, but come up later. Elders will be up here. Robert will be up here if you want prayer. And you can find more about how you can enter into the kingdom of God.